You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your too much sea salt spray using 5 a.m. alarm setting. I'm still drinking tons of iced tea, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your wildberry iced tea drinking, baby animal documentary loving. My weekend was full of nothing but errands, but I didn't hate it, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
Excuse me.
Oh, you got caught. You got choked up with excitement.
You know, I have some yogurt phlegm in my throat right now.
Oh, is it a milk-based product?
It's a milk-based product.
Great to eat right before recording.
I know. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Excuse me. Well, I'm talking about third-party data and your rights.
Now,
I admit,
I don't really even know what that is.
I know. So third-party data has sort of been in the headlines lately because of the potentiality. Is that a word, potentiality?
I think just potential.
The potential.
Yeah.
Potential.
The potentialism.
The potentialism of Roe versus Wade being turned over.
Yes.
And so I'm going to get into how law enforcement can use third-party data against you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's on your plate this week, Bethany?
Speaking of law enforcement.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the disappearance of Carl Hunrath and Wilbur Wilkinson.
Oh.
AKA two men who went to look for a flying saucer and disappeared forever.
Naturally, as one does.
Uh-huh. And the reason that there's a law enforcement tie-in is the FBI had files on these men. Oh, and by the way.
Yeah, look at that. That's construction noise in the background there.
Yeah. If you hear this sound every once in a while, I don't know how well you can hear it. They're doing construction inside the building of Audio Boom, and there's literally nothing we can do. So just enjoy it.
Is it construction, or did somebody on this floor eat a big burrito last night?
Girl, you just don't even know. So there's that about that.
So a couple episodes ago, we were talking about how it makes you feel more like an adult when you're sitting in a car and you have something to drink, like a mug of coffee.
Yeah.
Well, I was running errands all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and we were in the car going from place to place. What is it about having a seasonally appropriate beverage in the car, whether it be a hot mug of coffee or a wild berry iced tea,
sure,
that makes running errands more bearable?
It is. And you're right. And I don't know what that thing is.
Yeah.
But it is like, maybe it's a bit of the comforts of home.
Maybe.
While you're doing this thing you don't want to be doing.
I get that. Yeah. Because whenever Neil and I have to go someplace, we usually always stop at a coffee shop on our way out of town.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's just the simple act of enjoying something while doing something you don't enjoy inherently, or if it feels like a treat.
I think it feels like a treat. I think there's that too, because we do the same thing. It's always like we're going to go do this thing, but let's stop at a coffee shop on the way.
Yeah.
I'll buy us coffee. Get whatever you want, baby. And it just makes everything a little bit more fun because you're getting something that you couldn't be getting at home. Maybe that's part of it too. So it is the comfort of drinking something you drink at home, but it's more exciting than the stuff you make at home.
Your breasts, I'm sorry.
Are they pinging your ADD?
Bethany, they look so good right now.
Thank you. I'm wearing a caftan because it's really hot out.
It's and I forgot, humid.
I forgot how low this caftan is cut to the rib cage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like without exaggeration.
So you're not wearing a bra and you're,
no.
You have the perkiest dang be with arrests that I've
Thank
ever
you.
Seen in my life.
I've never fed a baby before. So there's that. Yeah, they're out and they're... I don't know, this the caftan feels looser than normal, so I feel like it's I have to like get some double-sided tape. I just wasn't prepared for this day. Mm-hmm. And so before we were recording, I was sitting in here with our engineer Blair, and you know, I like sitting, the full weight of the caftan can't pull it down.
Yeah.
And so I was actively like having a super straight spine and sort of leaning back to create some bit of a pull on it so that he doesn't see my nipples.
Well, you
it's
know,
a
I
whole
think
thing.
If anybody's going to see your nipples, let it be Blair because he'd be like, you're fabulous.
Yeah, Blair will be all about it. So before we were recording, Kathleen, you noticed the pop socket I have on my phone.
I do. You know why? Because I haven't had a pop socket on the back of my phone for a long time.
I know.
And yours was doing this beautiful spinning action.
I'm still into pop sockets because it is 2017. Hold on. This is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because it spins.
Ooh.
And the reason this one spins, Kathleen, is because it's a Ouija board. But instead
no
of
way.
The Ouija board planchette that you move with your fingers,
you
spin it, and there's a little viewfinder in the shape of a star.
Wait.
And it lands on letters and numbers. So do you want to ask my pop socket a question?
Yes.
Okay.
What do I need to know? Pop socket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's listening.
I need to know if I'm the asshole, and I'll explain to you why after, but ask your pop socket, am I an asshole?
Okay, is Kathleen an asshole? I'm going to spin it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, H.
Yes.
Y.
Yeah.
Three.
H-Y-3.
S.
H-Y-3-S.
R.
H-Y-3-S-R.
I don't know how many times I should spin it. Two.
Two. Okay, let's leave it at that. What could that mean? Hell yes.
Hell yes. Threes. Right. Hell yes.
3-S-R-2. Seriously. R. Nope.
Hell yes. Three is sometimes also like a B, right? Hell yes.
Bullshit, right?
And then the number two.
Hell yes. Bethany says right too.
And
so
two.
So you, both you and your Ouija board think I'm an asshole.
Yes, that's right. That's correct. You nailed it.
Yes.
So what happened?
Okay. I have had a lot of good luck selling things in my apartment that I no longer need on Facebook Marketplace.
Great.
All of my there's the construction again.
It's gonna be there, friends.
All of my experiences have been lovely.
Great.
So I bought these wall sconces to go next to a painting behind my couch in my living room.
Okay.
I bought them in January. I took them out of the box last week.
Uh-huh.
So I'm way past the window of when I can return them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, well, let me throw these up on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, because they don't work.
Yes, they do work. They're still working. They just don't work decor-wise.
Gotcha.
In my apartment. And so I put them up on Facebook Marketplace, and I got a lot of interest right away.
Sure.
Somebody was like, take them off. You know, I'll give you half. I'll come and pick them up. And I was like, no, I trust you.
Uh-oh.
You don't need to Venmo me half.
Uh-oh.
So the woman shows up. She's so kind. But I guess she hadn't. I included the original link to the product
in my
post. I guess she didn't click on it to see how big they were.
Okay.
And so I open the box and I'm like, oh, so, you know, the other box is closed. This one is open. Take a look at it. And I can see in her mind that maybe she's having doubts.
Uh-oh.
But they're large.
Yeah.
And it's two big boxes. And I've already taken the effort to get them from my apartment down to my lobby.
Absolutely.
And Bethany, saleswoman Kathleen, came out. And she sold the hell out of these lamps to a woman who probably, had she taken the measurements, wasn't going to buy them.
Yeah.
Am I the asshole?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, absolutely not in that moment. Because the due diligence was on her.
Yeah.
You gave her all of the resources she needed because I know you and you love decor.
I do.
And so you're going to, even on the Facebook post, sell the hell out of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure the link gave sizes and measurements.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
And that was her job to look at that. You came down. She was serious enough to offer you half up front. I mean,
she came from someplace like 45 minutes away.
Yeah. So she, yes. No, you were not the asshole. She said she was going to buy them. She said to take it down off Facebook.
Yes.
Which, had you done, you would have been like screwed.
Yeah.
And you took the trouble to bring them all. No, absolutely not. You're not the asshole.
I was like, you know, these are great. You could put them next to a bed, next to a table. And then I mentioned I dropped, and I'm in interior design school.
Yes.
And which I am. I haven't talked about it on the podcast, but I'm back at school again.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you are?
Yeah, 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 totally.
And then that is like really sealed the deal.
No, you were doing what you had to do. You are selling these sconces.
Okay.
And so you sold the hell out of these sconces.
Thank you.
Done.
Thank you.
I am trying to sell a couch on Facebook Marketplace and I can't seem to get anyone to care.
Tell me you're not selling your Chesterfield couch.
No, God, no. Yeah. Bury me with it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm selling this old couch that I did a reno on.
Yes.
But it's not a great reno. It's a very old couch. I offered it back to the person who gave it to me. She didn't. She was like, yeah, I want it. But then she never got back to me. And so I'm like, I want to sell it. I know it's worth money, but not in its current state. So I kind of don't know what to do.
Oh, you know? I see what you mean.
Like, the frame of it is great.
Yes.
But the reno, like, some of the nail head trim has come off. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of stains on some of the fabric, like all of that stuff. So I'm like, I don't know what to do.
You need to sell it as a fixer-upper couch.
Okay.
That's
great.
It. Just
great.
Say the frame is in great shape. Like, get really close-up pictures of the frame.
Yeah.
Show a picture of it in its prime.
Yeah.
This is what it used to look like. It's well-loved.
Yeah.
I've seen people sell chairs that are in terrible shape on Facebook with the promise that if you get it reupholstered, it's going to be your prized possession chair.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Great. That's, then that's, you know what? That's what I'm going to do.
There you go. I'm telling you, you can sell anything on Facebook Marketplace.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen or sold on Facebook Marketplace?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I bought you that picture of the little boy with the chicken smoking the cigarette.
Yeah, the boy was smoking the cigarette, not the chicken.
And then I recently sent you a poster about
cocaine.
A cocaine poster. I'm in weird moods late
at
night.
What?
I love it. Weird shit. I don't know. What's the weirdest thing that you've ever bought online?
Gosh. I almost bought a suit of armor, but then it turned out it was resin. It wasn't real. I want like a real suit of armor, not like a resin cast.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's, you know, a lot of people selling some resin stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I want a proper actual suit of armor.
So I have a friend who's an art teacher who recently took a resin pouring class.
Yeah.
Because he wants to teach his students resin pouring.
Yeah.
And he said it was one of the coolest things that he's ever done.
Yeah.
Except resin is so, it's so expensive now. Supply chain and whatnot. Not
sure.
Yeah.
You could, but you know what? You can make anything for resin, and it's
pretty
affordable. Once you can make it into, like, I don't know, a Sasquatch for your backyard. that's a good resin project for all of us.
I saw someone with a resin dog, a really realistic resin looking dog on their doorstep to scare away people.
Did it work?
It didn't work because then they were on the Ring app saying that someone stole their package anyway.
Yeah. That's the problem with resin dogs is they don't bark.
Yeah. Bethany.
That's why. Kathleen, big news.
What's the big news?
You are the one who told me they have new toothbrush colors at Bruche.
They do have new toothbrush colors at Bruche.
So if you don't know what Bruche is, it's an electric toothbrush that is going to change the way you think about brushing your teeth.
Yes.
You get that powerful sonic technology and really ultra gentle bristles, but you're not paying the crazy sonic toothbrush price.
Bruche takes brushing your teeth to a new level. And my favorite thing about the Bruche toothbrush is that I can charge it once a month.
Yes.
And it lasts forever. That means when you travel, you don't need to bring this clunky charger. You also don't need to keep a clunky charger on your vanity because, let's be real, we don't ever have enough vanity space.
No, never. Yeah, that battery lasts 4 weeks on a full charge. And that sonic technology is giving you 42,000 brush strokes per minute. That helps with deep cleaning in those really hard to reach places.
I love the white setting.
Yes, there's different modes you can use.
Yeah, they have six different modes. I love the tongue cleaning one, and I love the whitening one because when I use my special whitening toothpaste, they really get my pearly whites pearly.
Totally. And I love the gentle one because my teeth are special and gentle.
Because your gums are emo and they have side bangs.
Yes, they do. By the way, speaking of those new colors, Kathleen.
Yeah.
You said they have a magenta.
Oh, and a navy blue.
Oh. It's the best. So get your own Brûche toothbrush. Plus, get 20% off when you pick your Brûche brush kit and plan when you go to Brûche.com/acquired taste.
Again, don't take our word for it. Get your teeth as clean as dinner plates. That's 20% off when you go to Brûche.com/acquired taste. That's Brûche.com/acquired taste. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Third-party data and your rights.
Yes. I don't know what it is, and I don't know what they are.
This is not news, but in case you've been living under a rock and maybe only using this podcast as your main source of news, a Supreme Court opinion that was leaked earlier this month is suggesting that Roe versus Wade will be overturned this year.
Yep.
And this means that the federal legality of obtaining abortion, there's no more federal protection saying that abortion is legal, and it would basically leave abortion rights up to the individual state.
Right.
This is a concern for many reasons, but one that is unique to the 21st generation has privacy experts on the edge, because in Republican-led states, they are suggesting as going as far as criminalizing abortion.
Sure. Okay. So I'm guessing this is where the third-party data comes in.
Yes. You know, lawmakers in Louisiana have an advanced bill that would classify abortion as homicide.
Wow. Okay.
And so this has people worried that the criminalization of abortion will include data from third-party apps like period tracking apps to use against a menstruating person. Cycle apps could have data that suggests that maybe you're thinking about getting an abortion or you've gotten one, depending on when your period, when you're getting your period.
Yeah.
And at least, Bethany, 26 states are certain or likely to ban abortions.
That isn't surprising.
It's more than half.
In many ways, it seems like we were more progressive back in the days in some ways, all.
And Bethany, it doesn't end at period apps.
Okay.
It extends to almost every app on your phone. And this is why. If someone is sitting in a waiting room of a clinic that offers abortion services, whether or not they are there to get an abortion, and they are playing a game on their phone is turned on, that app is collecting or could be collecting location data.
And the location data could ping you at a clinic, even if you're there to get birth control or to get just a checkup, pap smear, whatever.
Yep. And also, Bethany, your search history, whether it's about abortion or whatever, it can be used against you now if you commit some sort of crime or you are suspected of committing a crime.
So if I steal the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And I have been on Amazon Prime watching Independence Day.
Yes.
Not Independence Day. National Treasure.
National Treasure. And maybe also you looked up robber outfits, like a costume. You purchased that on Amazon.
Yeah. If I'm looking for criminal sartorial choices and like a good pair of cotton gloves to make sure that I protect archival documents. Yeah.
And maybe you searched how to rob like a pro.
Yeah. How to rob like a pro. And also how to rob Washington, D.C. in general and specifically national galleries and monuments.
Yes, Bethany. And that can all be used against you.
What if I do it in Chrome incognito?
Okay, let's get into that.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about used against you in that you were too dumb to erase your history.
Right. I'm never too dumb to erase my history. I just don't erase my history because then my computer forgets my passwords.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I'm like, I got to remember those too.
I know. You know what I do if I've searched something that I don't want, I don't know, to be found out about me, I remove the data immediately so I can do like within the last hour.
Yeah.
Okay, Bethany, I'm here to tell you that incognito does not protect you from law enforcement accessing your data. The police now have tools that can access deleted photos, deleted search history, that kind of stuff.
So if I want to get back my old documents that like I accidentally deleted those really good photos of me,
yeah.
I can't get them back unless I have a warrant for myself and the police can do it for me.
Something like that. But you know, police work with third-party apps now. And this is what I'm talking about. So every time you download a game or a photo editing app or whatever, do you ever read the agreement? No, you just scroll through. The bottom and you click accept,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I tell them which boxes have staircases in them to prove I'm not a robot. And then I go off my life.
I've never gotten staircases. I always get stop signs or boats. That's one I get a lot.
I got staircases yesterday.
There is stuff in that agreement in third-party apps that allow them to access your search history.
I hate it.
So then the police can then buy that search history from these third-party apps. And Bethany, it is not just the police that can buy this type of data. Advocacy groups can buy this type of data as well. So whether that be a pro-life advocacy group or something as stupid as, I don't know, that group of people who believe that birds are government spies and maybe you run a bird farm for sick birds and they think that you're just hosting spies.
Yeah.
They could access your information. Or, Bethany, you know, like Starbucks and Amazon employees, they've been unionizing.
Yeah.
An anti-union advocacy group could access from third-party apps what employees have been searching.
That's horrifying. So here's my question, Kathleen.
Yeah, yeah.
You are concerned about this.
I'm very concerned about this.
Why are you not more concerned about Alexa and all of the stuff she's grabbing about you?
Now that it is explained to me in a more material way.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm really passionate about. Like,
yeah.
I'm really pro people being able to choose what they do with their bodies.
Right.
I am thinking about this in a completely different way.
Because as my second cousin told me,
yeah,
we have about 50 years until the robots gain sentience.
Yeah, yeah. And browser extensions, do you have any of those?
Yeah, I have several.
Mm-hmm.
I had one for a while when I worked at the bank that made every website you were on look like it was the New York Times. And so you could read all of like the trashy stuff you wanted to. But if your boss walked by, it looks like you were on the New York Times.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It was great. It was wonderful.
And wasn't there one that would block out any news about the Kardashians?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all have these extensions. I mean, I've got tons of extensions for measuring websites, like how big banners are for web design type purposes, or I've got extensions for getting codes when I'm shopping.
Totally. I love my coupon extensions,
which I use all the time. Bethany, there's no way to manage individual permissions for these extensions. So basically, if you have them, you either disable them or you just accept that they probably will be able to access your search history.
I feel like the thing is,
yeah,
I think for most of us, we do not have the mental and emotional bandwidth to get so upset about this because it is such a widespread problem.
Yeah.
That you almost have to be like, well, they're doing it, but they're doing it for so many people that I must just fall into the background noise.
Yeah.
Which isn't the right thing to think because it's totally like our rights are gone.
It was more of a conceptual idea.
Yeah.
Until being potentially faced with the overturn of Roe versus Wade.
Yeah. Because then it's not like, well, I'll never rob a bank.
Yeah.
So the cops won't be looking for me.
Yeah.
But the cops are always looking for people.
Yeah.
And it might not be for things that are actually illegal.
And if this is overturned and you need to look up where to get an abortion,
yeah,
you cannot trust something like incognito mode.
Yeah.
Because the police can still access it. And if you look up the definition of like what Google calls incognito mode,
yeah,
it's literally only to prevent other people who are using your device from seeing what you are searching. And that is it.
That's it.
It is not to prevent anybody else from seeing what you are searching.
So it really should be called the hiding porn browser.
Exactly.
That's what it's doing.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
I know. Okay, so the thing that really burns me, Bethany, is that typical burner phones don't have access to the internet. So you can't even buy a device
and then throw it in the garbage.
And then throw it in the garbage if you need to look something up. In April of 2021, DigitalTrends.com reported that on a survey done by cloud storage provider pCloud, they used Apple's new privacy labels featured in the App Store to work out which apps were gathering the most private data for their own use.
Okay.
So they figured out which ones were the most invasive.
Please don't say Best Fiends. don't say Best Fiends.
Bethany, I bet Best Fiends. I know you and I use it. We play it every day.
Play it every single day.
I know. Okay.
I play it every day.
52% of apps on your phone, third-party apps, they share your data.
No.
This data includes stuff like your location, your browsing history, contact details, fitness level, how hot or cold you keep your house if you have a smart thermometer, banking details, and so on.
Oh, no.
And while some apps collect your data for legitimate reasons, like how to track how you interact with them to give you a better experience or to fix bugs, companies behind the app can also sell third parties your information.
And so often when you are donating to an organization, right? And you want to give like a couple of bucks to an organization, like a charitable organization, they're not making enough money from your $2 to really do anything. And so they will make money by selling your data, which is why if you donate, let's say to Let's Steal the Declaration of Independence.org, and then suddenly you start getting mail from, hey, let's also steal the Washington Monument.org, and you don't know how you got that, well, it's because they sold your information.
I am pretty sure that when I purchased my apartment last year, my information was sold.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know if it was by my bank or by, you know, there's so many people who have your information in the process of buying your house.
Yeah.
Your age, your income level. We get so much more junk mail than we did previously.
Yeah.
It's insane, Bethany.
It's nuts.
How much paper we are having to recycle by just being blasted with high-end products for people in our age range. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
It's nuts.
So this is how you can protect yourself. Any app that asks you for access to body sensors.
What do you mean?
Like a smartwatch.
Oh.
Which I have apps that ask me access to my heart rate and
if
stuff.
If you have a Fitbit or a hoop strap.
Yeah. Or an Apple Watch calendar, camera, contacts, GPS location. How many times have you said, yes, you can use my GPS location only when I'm using the app?
I do that. I say that.
Yeah, of course. Yelp. Because if I open Yelp, I'm typically in a bind and I'm looking for a place to eat right then and there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I'm you know, on Lyft, I need the car to find me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say you are on Yelp or Lyft and a crime is committed in that area. Police then can pull something called a geofence warrant, which apps and Google, I'll get into this, will give police all of the devices that were in that area, you know, of the area that they're searching when the crime was committed. And if you are there, they now have all of your information. I know. So let me tell you which app was the worst. Can you guess? Selling most of your information.
Oh, man. Google Maps.
Instagram.
Fuck you, Instagram.
Instagram was the worst offender, sharing 79% of your data.
I mean, we should not be surprised.
I know.
Instagram is owned by Facebook. Yeah. Facebook is the devil.
Facebook was next. 57% of your data.
Facebook is like, hey, is there an awful thing we can do to give up everyone's rights? We'll do it.
We'll do it. LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, not far behind. They share 50%, 42%, 36% respectively. YouTube shares your data by selling it to brands that target you across other platforms and uses it to choose the ads that you see before and during videos.
That makes sense. Which confuses me because sometimes I see really like ads that have nothing to do with my beliefs and are actually very against my beliefs. Like, hey, let's leave the Declaration of Independence alone.org. And I'm like, no, I don't know why I'm getting that pre-roll.
Because advocacy groups that know that you are clearly on one side of the argument.
For Declaration of Independence stealing.
They're trying to get you on the other side for it's maybe protection of historical documents.
No way.
Advocacy groups.
I'm too far to the one side.
Even Duolingo and eBay, they will share your information.
Oh, Dios mío.
Yeah, I know, Bethany. And apparently, there was some sort of case where there was leaked data from the app Grindr that was leaked to a priest. And also, researchers have found that opioid addiction treatment apps, they share sensitive data as well.
Oh, no.
I know. I know,
oh,
Bethany.
That's awful.
I know. And so do you remember a couple years ago, it was 2015, where the FBI requested data extraction from a locked iPhone?
Yes.
So Apple was like, they were pretty steadfast. Yeah. No, we're not going to give it to you. Turns out that the FBI just found a workaround and they used third-party apps to get the data from that phone that they wanted. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like...
it's a reverse search warrant.
Oh, that's awful. It's awful. I'm like so upset I can't even come up with a funny simile.
I know. I, someone who leans into smart everything.
I know.
I think the thing that I'm most horrified about, yes, like abortion becoming criminalized.
Sure.
But like, why does anybody need to know what the temperature of my house is?
Yeah, that's odd.
Right?
That's odd. I mean, that seems like it's more for selling you stuff. So it's like they can tell if you keep your house really warm, they know that you have a chilly overall body constitution. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to send you like ads for sweaters and ads for like heated blankets and
yeah,
that kind of thing.
I get it. So geofence warrants, we were just talking about that. Basically, it allows law enforcement to search databases for active mobile users within a particular area on a particular day and time, that type of thing. Google complies with geofence warrants.
Of course they do.
Google coughs up that information, and they've been doing so since 2016.
Google's gross. It's gross. Like, it's just awful. I hate it.
But I use it every day.
I use it every day because guess what? It's one of our biggest options.
Yeah. Because,
like, I know you can use DuckDuckGo, but like, not everything I use offers it to be linked up to my other DuckDuckGo thing. So I don't have a DuckDuckGo calendar.
What is DuckDuckGo?
It's another search option that says that they don't sell your information.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, but here's the thing. DuckDuckGo doesn't provide the quality search results that Google does because Google's just natural. It's been around longer.
That's the thing. It's a monopoly.
Yeah. Okay, so in August of 2021, Google released for the first time ever a detailed report on geofencing information requests from law enforcement.
Did it just burst into flames from the hellfire and wrath of everybody?
It should have, but it didn't. Wired.com went through that report and they are saying that, and this report came out last year in August, so I'm assuming that maybe another one will come out in this year, August 2022.
Sure.
Especially because now all of this is on the forefront of news headlines. Reports showed that in the past 3 years, geofencing warrants had spiked dramatically, as much as tenfold in some states.
Do we, and you may not have this answer, but do we think it's because cops are now realizing it's an option?
Yeah, of course. Mm. Of course. I mean, think about a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And a young dentist has just gotten out of school. A mm-hmm. young dentist has been trained with all of the latest gadgets and mm-hmm. techniques. Same thing goes for contractors, mm-hmm. plumbers. The young ones know the latest technology.
Yeah.
And so... it's like it implies to law enforcement, too. They're right out of the academy. They have more knowledge and more understanding of technology than mm-hmm. their older police counterparts. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
That's why Casey Anthony, it's one of the reasons she got off, was because the investigators didn't know that there was another kind of internet browser. They only checked her, Safari, and they didn't check her Chrome. And her Chrome is the one that had, like, how to bury a baby. Allegedly. She was found innocent.
Oh, man. So when you consider someone trying to figure out their options when it comes to an unwanted pregnancy, mm-hmm. the tools that we use every day to search, I don't know, how to make a better grilled cheese, these are also the same tools that could potentially put us in prison for a long time. So moving forward, if you're visiting a clinic, mm-hmm. leave your smartphone at home. Leave your Apple Watch at home. You're probably okay in sanctuary states, which are starting to, like New York, New Jersey, the District of Washington, mm-hmm. they've all come out and said that they are sanctuary states or areas. I know there are other states on that list, but if you are not, you need to think really clearly mm-hmm. about exploring your sexual health options.
I mean, doing things the old-fashioned way, like word of mouth and looking things up. Do they still make phone books? I mean, like I said last episode, as they said on Veep, if men could get pregnant, abortions would be available in vending machines.
And so if you need to search something, don't even go to your friend. when you have your phone in your pocket and search it on your friend's phone, because now they have you geographically near your friend.
And phones can communicate with each other.
Yes, and phones can communicate with each other. You need to leave your phone at home and do like a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Because if you search on your friend's phone, the police will then, you know, lean into your friend. Maybe your friend has an arrest warrant out because they have too many parking tickets.
Sure.
Who was the friend that searched how to buy abortion pills online overseas?
That's the time to get a burner phone.
That, yeah.
Is to like make some phone calls.
Yes.
Because that's not going to track your location, there you is go. It?
Yeah, no, it's not. Okay. It's not. So data privacy laws in Europe, so much stricter. And really the United States, we as consumers of technology need to lean hard into every single representative that we have at the local, state, and federal levels. We need to lean hard into the apps that we use and these companies to come out and make public statements that they will not be sharing information. And if they are, we need to stop using them, because only 4 states, Bethany, have enacted comprehensive consumer data privacy laws. 4 states.
Which ones?
California, Colorado, Utah, Virginia. And in the U.S. as a whole, there is not one single principal data collection law that exists. In most states, companies can use, share, sell any of the data that they collect without notifying you that they're doing so. There are no national standards that you must be notified if your data is breached by unauthorized parties. If a company shares your data, including sensitive information like health or location, third-party apps can sell that without notifying you. We are not protected.
Wow.
We are not protected. And that's it. That's all I got for you today. We are not protected.
Well, there goes my... plans on stealing the Declaration of Independence.
Bethany, you will never be able to do it. I'm so sorry. Your dreams have been crushed today. More importantly, I hope I opened some minds and eyes for people who are listening to this.
Wow.
Bombas's mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you are also giving to somebody in need.
Bombas wants you to be comfortable. They designed their socks, shirts, and underwear to be the clothes you can't wait to put on every day. Everything they make is soft, seamless, and tagless. It feels cozy. If you have a pair of socks that you've had for years and they have lost their shape, they no longer hug your foot. Instead, they sort of seem to lose the will to live halfway through the day and scooch themselves down under the arch of your foot. You want Bombas socks.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that to you.
Yeah, get rid of your foot doilies.
Yeah.
Foot doilies don't support your feet like Bombas socks do. Plus, Bombas are made from natural materials, super soft materials like merino wool, Pima cotton, even cashmere, which makes them perfect for cozy layers.
And there's a pair of Bombas socks for everything you do. They have performance styles. They have comfy lounge styles. They have styles that go up to your knees, and they have styles that hide in your shoes. But all of them have the same band of arch support that hugs the arch of your foot and makes your foot feel wonderful.
Bethany, I just discovered that they also have the cutest baby socks.
They do. They have baby socks.
And typically, I don't care about anything related to babies, but like, if I have to buy a baby a present, that baby's getting Bombas.
Oh, yeah. So go to bombas.com/taste and get 20% off of your first purchase.
That's bombas.com/taste for 20% off.
Bombas.com/taste. Gentle listener, when you look at your hair, are you 100% happy? And what about the hair on your face, like your eyebrows? I have patches of my eyebrows that no longer grow in because I got pluck happy when I was in high school and my eyebrows are angry.
Yeah.
That is why I'm so excited we have partnered with Vegamore. I am using Vegamore's Grow Brow Serum. You put it on twice a day. You can put it on over your brow like pencil.
Yeah.
And it actually kind of works like a brow pomade to kind of hold your eyebrows in place too, which is a bonus. Twice a day, and I am so excited to start seeing the eyebrows start growing in because it has awesome reviews online, and Lord knows I need it.
Yeah, Lord knows that 1993 through 1997 was not kind to me when I was looking for eyebrow shapes.
Yeah.
and you know, I just love their hair growth serum.
Yes.
It's part of my everyday routine. I get out of the shower, I part my hair in different ways, I drip drop that serum on, and I'm starting to get my widow's peak back a little
bit. Nice.
Which was burned off years years ago by somebody giving me a really bad color job.
Ugh.
I definitely have noticed that the Grow Revitalizing shampoo, conditioner kit, and serum are helping my hair look thicker.
Yeah, Vegamore uses a holistic approach to hair health. They use smart botanicals that help promote visibly thicker, fuller, longer looking hair. Their Grow Revitalizing shampoo and conditioner kit works super well into your daily schedule. It's not like you're doing anything different or new.
Yeah.
And by the way, they smell amazing. So you're not getting this medicine-y smell. It's all plant-based and it's vegan, by the way. So the smell is wonderful.
And there's no risk when trying Vegamore because they have a 90-day money-back guarantee. But with 91% of customers saying they saw visibly thicker hair with Vegamore in just 3 months, you won't want to run out.
So get the hair you've always wanted with Vegamore. Go to vegamore.com/taste and use the code TASTE to save 20% on your first order.
That's VEGAMOUR.com/taste and then use the code TASTE to save 20% at vegamore.com/taste.
Kathleen, now that we've had that eye-opening and jarring real-life look into our privacy being sold.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a little bit of a downer.
So no, it's
cheer
good.
Me up with some aliens.
it's important. I'm so glad you did that topic because we all needed to hear it.
Thank you.
Let's talk about aliens.
Okay.
Okay. More specifically, let's talk about two men who are so invested in the alien story.
Yeah.
That they may have been taken up by those aliens themselves.
That would be ideal if, in their eyes.
That is, in this situation, the best case outcome.
It's like liking a crush, someone in your class,
yeah,
for the entire duration of your school years together, yeah, kindergarten to 12th grade.
Yeah.
And finally, they take you in.
Yeah, they abduct you and bring you to their home. Okay, so this is the disappearance of Carl Hunrath and Wilbur Wilkinson.
Oh.
And I have to say, I got the bulk of my information from a book by Nick Redfern called Top Secret Alien Abduction Files, What the Government Doesn't Want You to Know.
Oh, how vintage of you. A book.
I know, it was a book.
Uh-huh.
And I will give my notes in my, give my sources in my show notes, rather. But Nick Redfern is fascinating because he has written books with the following titles.
Okay.
The Real Men in Black.
Oh.
Bloodline of the Gods, Unravel the Mystery in the Human Blood Type to Reveal the Aliens Among Us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The New World Order book. Okay. Which just kind of sounds like your average workhorse New World Order book.
Yeah, it sounds like an economics book, actually.
Yeah, it might be. Mind-controlled sex slaves in the CIA. Did the CIA turn innocent citizens into mind-controlled sex slaves?
Oh, God.
And Three Men Seeking Monsters. 6 weeks in pursuit of werewolves, lake monsters, giant cats, ghostly devil dogs, and ape men. Those are just a few of his titles.
You know, I am rolling my eyes at these titles, but last night I literally watched a show on Apple TV about Claire Danes looking for a sea serpent.
Did she find it?
She didn't find it yet.
Weird.
Yet.
Weird that she didn't find it. Okay, so here's the story of these men.
Okay.
Both Carl Hunrath and Wilbur Wilkinson lived in Racine, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And in his book, Top Secret Alien Abduction Files, What the Government Doesn't Want You to Know, Nick Redfern said, quote, Hunrath was a loner, someone who is known for his hair trigger character and his unfathomable loathing of women.
Oh, okay.
So he sounds like a real nice guy.
So an alien believing incel.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And throughout this story, we hear people saying, like, this guy was just a real asshole.
Mm.
But his buddy Wilkinson was the opposite. He had a wife and kids. He was real laid back. He was just as interested in aliens, but he wasn't like the go-getter type.
You know, don't we all have that friend who's the asshole and people are like, why do you hang out with them? Why are you still friends with them?
I don't know.
It's because you have that one thing in common, yeah, that makes that person tolerable to you.
Yeah. And like that only one thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you should have stopped hanging out with them a long time ago. So Hunrath worked for the John Oster Manufacturing Company. If you think of Oster kitchen appliances, like that, the O with like the thing.
Oh, yeah. Very vintage.
Very vintage. That's where he worked.
I think my mom had an Oster blender.
Yeah, I think like everyone's mom had an Oster blender.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Totally. No. It's a great blender. It's like beige.
I'm having flashbacks to that beige blender.
Yeah. So Wilkinson is the more laid back one. And he just kind of wanted to find out, like, who are the aliens and, you know, where are they coming from?
Yeah, what are they about?
What are they all about?
Yeah.
Hunrath, the incel, wanted to know what was the technology, what powered the flying saucers, could they do left-right movements, could they go thousands of miles an hour, could they make destructive weapons that was beyond our anatomical arsenals?
Do they have a doorway on the planet Mars?
Do they?
Do they?
So in July of 1952, this is when Hunrath really gains the attention of police enforcement.
Oh, yes. And in 1952, isn't that the same year? Bethany, isn't 1952 the same year that Eisenhower met with the aliens?
Let's look. 54.
Oh, okay. So this predates the Eisenhower alien meetup.
Yeah, but by just a couple of years.
Yeah, okay.
And I know that's a conspiracy theory, but it's one that Kathleen and I believe.
Fully believe.
We don't believe many. That's the fun one.
Don't believe in the Katy Perry, JonBenet Ramsey one.
No, don't believe in that one. No.
Do believe in aliens. No. With Eisenhower. No.
Okay, so in 1952, Hunrath, our friend, the angry one,
yeah,
he contacted his local police because he needed to report an encounter that he had had late one night.
Oh.
He claims that a man dressed in a black suit had entered his home.
Hmm.
He then said the man injected him with a tranquilizer and said, "I am Bosco. You've been chosen to enter our Brotherhood of Galaxies."
Bosco.
Bosco. Now, I say it in that way because Bosco apparently had a vaguely British accent. And Hunrath said that Bosco warned him about Earth's dangerous ways. We were too into war. Like the atomic bomb, all of that stuff was becoming a thing.
Yeah.
He also said that this Bosco, maybe a man in black, had downloaded into his brain UFO data and how to take down Russian aircraft.
Okay. That's still pretty applicable to today.
Yeah. I mean, it's good information to know.
What goes around comes around.
Right. Kathleen, what would you do if a man visited you in the night and... Not only did he sound kind of European, or at least affected, he also downloaded alien data into your brain. What would you think your next step has to be?
You know, just like to spook out my friends and family, I would just start talking like, beep, bop, boop, boop, boop. Can I have some toast?
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do. I think I would start journaling to write down all of my thoughts and then hand it over to somebody to see if they could find a pattern.
Ooh, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what he did.
Oh, okay.
Hunrath decided, like most people who really want to like gain attention, he needed to move to LA.
It's 1952. Why are they using the word download?
I think maybe that was used later.
Okay, got it.
You know.
What would the 1952 equivalent of download be? Inject to live?
Probably just like send him this information.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so he moves to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And as Nick Redfern wrote, so Hunrath, a ticking time bomb at the best of times, gave his boss the finger, emptied his bank account, and hit the road to Los Angeles.
Oh, actually, that sounds kind of fun.
So Wilkinson was the more laid back one.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do?
He then joins his friend in Los Angeles.
He sure does.
Okay, cool.
He uproots his wife and children
and moves them
to LA so that they can work on this UFO thing.
If you were his wife, what would you say?
His wife seemed supportive, if not entirely on board.
I guess maybe I'm just assuming, this is total generalization.
Yeah.
It's the early 50s. Yeah. You do what your husband wants.
Kind of that vibe.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once they move to LA, they do what you do. You get in with the community of people that you want to be part of.
Okay.
So they get in with all the UFO people in LA. Kathleen, I know you know the names. Say it with me. George Adamski.
Yep.
George Van Tassel. George Hunt Williamson. And Williamson was already known to the FBI because there were rumors that he had been smuggling ancient priceless artifacts across the U.S.-Mexico border into the U.S. and then selling them for a lot of money. And he also had aliases like Michael Dobrovnik and Brother Philip. And also, you know, the police were kind of on his tail. So these are the people you want to be in with.
Why do so many Georges believe in aliens?
It's a great question.
Huh.
Correlation does not equal causation, but maybe if your name is George, it makes you more likely to believe in aliens.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so this Williamson gentleman, who was one of the UFO people that our two friends got into it, Williamson apparently didn't consider himself friends with these two men.
Okay.
He said that Hunrath actually scared the hell out of him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can imagine so.
Yeah. One thing that Hunrath would do, too, is that he would get in with all of these saucer researchers, but then he would start spreading rumors about them and all of their work, so then they hated him.
Well, he was doing internal, he was turning the community against each other, so he could be the number one guy.
It may have been like a scorched earth campaign.
Very Lord of the Flies.
Very Lord of the Flies.
Uh-huh.
So, Nick Redfern, he claims that both Hunrath and Wilkinson, our two friends from Wisconsin, had FBI files opened on them.
Huh.
And that Hunrath's FBI file contained his story about Bosco, the man in black, visiting him.
I can guarantee you the FBI did not give two shits.
So I was like, there's no way that's true.
Yeah.
But then I looked at Nick Redfern's sources, his bibliography.
Yeah.
They cite the FBI files on all of these different men that he received from a Freedom of Information Act.
Huh. You know, when I think of the FBI, I often just think of the FBI that exists in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget that there are smaller satellite offices with FBI agents all over the country.
Sure.
And like maybe one in Wisconsin was like, I'm bored today.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Let me just go take this report. It'll be a good laugh at the pub later.
Totally. Like you can only do so many serial killer stories and like investigations when you're in Wisconsin as the FBI.
That's true. Yeah, I get it.
All right. So there's also probably another reason that our friend, the angry Hunrath, had the attention of the FBI.
Okay.
Shortly after he was visited by Bosco, the man in black, he says he invented a machine called Bosco, but all capital letters, Bosco, that he said was capable of duplicating the magnetic fields of UFOs and could, quote, call them down.
Yeah, I can see where the government might be concerned about magnetic field duplication.
Here's the other reason that the government got involved.
Hunrath
got drunk at a wine event at Adamski's place and started popping off about his machine.
I love the term popping off. I'm going to start working that into everyday conversation.
So then Adamski said he was worried that if Bosco could down UFOs, it could also potentially down American aircraft.
Yes, yes, yes.
So then according to ChasingUFOsBlog.com, Hunrath replied, who cares? We want the saucers.
Oh.
At which point Adamski threw him out of his home and told him never to return.
Don't come back here.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's the same technology that when you put two magnets on the side of your temples, it'll make your headache go away.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
Type of thing.
I mean, have you noticed that when you make your headache go away, jets fall from the sky?
I haven't noticed that yet.
Okay, so it may not be the same technology.
My head's not big enough, but my husband's is. So
he does have a nice large head.
So large, his headache magnets are very, very large.
Yeah, they interfere with a lot of like microwaves and the internet.
The power and the block goes out.
Yeah. Okay, so if you can get in with UFO people, do it.
Well,
they sound fun.
Bethany, did you know that there are UFO festivals all over this country?
Of course there are.
Maybe we should go to one time.
I would love that.
Oh, do you dress like an alien like they do for Renaissance fairs?
I think you do whatever you want. Our friend M used to be in MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. I don't know if they're still in it or not. But it's a big thing. MUFON's a big thing.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, the FBI questioned Adamski, the guy who threw Hunrath out of his party.
Yeah.
Adamski reportedly said that Hunrath was, quote, quite possibly possessed by otherworldly demons. So these are fun people. These are people across the board who are just like telling real big stories.
Yeah, because people who are too logical, they never have any good stories.
Never.
They're no fun.
No.
They can't play pretend.
Nope, never.
You know, they're just not fun people.
They can't picture a fun thing in their head.
Yeah.
They're like, just, ugh.
Yeah, people who shoot down conspiracy theories are not people that I want to know.
Unless they're those dangerous kind.
That's true.
We won't say which ones.
Yeah.
There was also reportedly a rumor flying around the FBI that Hunrath was a Soviet spy who'd been invited to suss out the truth about flying saucers.
Oh, Okay,
that's
I get it.
Not yeah, true, but we don't know.
You know, so it's. I kind of have not anymore, but I used to have a dream to be a Soviet spy,
one who had been born, like, in the Soviet Union at the time,
yes,
or one who was American and went over?
No, one that was born in the Soviet Union at the time.
Did you have a name?
I don't know.
Was it Katerina?
I was just going to say Katerina.
Yeah, probably Katerina.
Because in The Americans, that show,
yeah,
the Soviet Union school, the KGB,
yeah,
that school looked really intense.
Yeah.
Like, if you graduated from there, the world was your literal oyster.
Probably. I mean, you know, you got to be a spy.
Yeah.
You got to be able to be the best of the best.
And I'm very bad at accents, and I imagine that they would teach me how to be better at different types of accents.
Probably, but I feel like it is an innate skill you either have or you don't.
I don't know. I feel like you can learn it.
Well, Carrie, who was in the show? Carrie something or other?
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell was just in a movie I saw. I think it was Carrie Russell. She was in Antlers. Was that Carrie Russell? Did she play Felicity?
She did play Felicity.
Yeah, Felicity was just in a horror movie I watched called Antlers.
Oh, cool.
It was a good, passable movie.
Oh, thanks for that information.
No problem. All right, so now it's August 1953.
Okay.
Wilkinson, our laid-back friend.
Yeah, yeah.
He's now on the West Coast with Hunrath,
yeah,
our angry friend.
Uh-huh.
They were doing experiments with a UFO enthusiast named Gerald Baker.
Okay.
And a dude named George Hunt Williamson. We mentioned him earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
George claimed he could channel beings from other planets. This doesn't really have to do with anything except I bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because these four men adopted space brother names.
No.
So it just sounds like they're having the best time and they are best friends.
What are their space brother names?
Hunrath was Furcon.
Oh, I like that one.
Wilkinson was Ramu. Williamson was Mark III.
Oh.
And Baker was Markon.
Well, we should come up with our space alien names.
Come up with it. One, two, three, go.
Cookie 3.
Mine's plee plop.
Mine is 0000011.
Oh, a binary alien.
Mark 0000011 con.
Okay, so let's move on to the day of the incident.
Okay.
November 10th, 1953.
Mm, good day, good year.
Hunrath calls a Hollywood-based UFO investigator named Manon Darlene. This is a lady.
Oh, a lady?
Yeah.
With a career?
I know. What? She must be unmarried.
Oh, she definitely was unmarried.
And very unhappy.
Her husband would never let her investigate UFOs.
Never. I bet she didn't even wear stockings.
No, she definitely didn't.
So he called her. He let her know that he and Wilkinson are about to meet up with a landed flying saucer.
Oh.
And he was like, do you want to come along?
The answer is yes.
She said no, probably because he sounded crazy.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
So what they do next, Hunrath and Wilkinson, they rent a car.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows why they didn't take their own cars. They rented a car. They drove out to Gardena Airstrip. It's a tiny airstrip.
Okay.
No one knows what was happening. They rented a light plane. They filled out the necessary paperwork, except they did not fill out a flight plan.
A light plane?
It's probably like a small plane.
Did either one of them know how to fly a plane?
Stories vary on this.
Huh.
Some people say he was Hunrath was a good pilot. Some say he really didn't know much.
I wonder how much money he had in his bank account, because I imagine that if it was a considerable amount, the FBI would be more likely to investigate somebody who had means to, like, do weird shit.
I mean, it sounds like he had a good job.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
They also filled the gas tank with 3 hours of fuel.
Okay.
And then they fly away.
Hmm.
And they were never seen again. The problem is that because they did not fill out a flight plan,
yeah,
the subsequent search and any rescue efforts were hindered because, yeah, no one knew which direction they went in. No one knew how far they made it. No one knew where they were supposed to end up. All they knew is that these men were set to come back to Gardena Airstrip in the late afternoon.
Yeah.
So when they didn't show up in the late afternoon, the staff of the airstrip was like, oh, no. And then local pilots and stuff started flying around to look for these men, and they never found them.
They never said where the landed space disc was.
No, because they probably didn't want to let other people know where the aliens were.
I wonder how they found out about it.
Some articles say that it was probably one of the downloads that he got from the aliens.
Yeah.
They were like, we're gonna meet you here.
Gotcha.
Come with us.
Gotcha.
All right, so...
Poor Wilkinson's wife.
Yeah.
What an embarrassing disappearance story.
She was concerned.
Yeah.
We'll have a quote from her coming up from a news article she
did. Okay, thank you.
So Hunrath was the one who was at the control of the plane.
Yeah.
Some people say he was an experienced pilot. Some people say he was not. But a week before their flight, he had taken a refresher course. And it was rumored that the men were planning on flying towards Arizona.
Hmm.
So that would have taken them over the remote Southern California desert mountains.
Yeah.
Which is not a good place to go. And if you go there, it's not a good place to be found.
Yeah. You go down and that's it. Yeah. You're down forever.
So they looked. The search went on for weeks. Mm-hmm. They never found them.
And it's a light plane. It's a small plane.
Yeah.
You run out of fuel and then you're effed because every which direction there's no life.
And researchers and rescuers and investigators put calls out to both Mexican and Canadian authorities, but there's no way they would have made it that far.
Mm.
They just didn't have the fuel to make it very far.
Mm.
They never found any evidence of where they went. They never found any remains of anything. To this day, they've not found a wing. They haven't found a shoe. They haven't found any evidence of bleep blorp. There's been nothing found of these men.
Wow.
Gone.
Gone forever.
So the Los Angeles Mirror published a story where Wilkinson's wife said her husband and Hunrath may have been taken by, quote, interplanetary invaders in a flying saucer. She also said the two men, quote, believed the end of the earth was nearing and that strange little men from the planet Macer were ready to invade.
I have a theory.
Okay.
Who was the George that threw Hunrath out of his house for being an a-hole?
Adamski.
George Adamski and Wilkinson's wife.
Yeah.
Want to get together.
In flagrante delicto.
Yes, in the sexy way.
Yeah.
They need to get rid of
Wilkinson.
Wilkinson and
Hunrath.
Hunrath.
Yeah.
And so they kill them and then make up this story.
Kathleen, that's an amazing theory.
Something like that.
That's an amazing theory.
Or, I mean, it doesn't have to be that George. It could be another George or just, you know, like somebody in the community.
Yeah. There's an embarrassment of Georges. She has as many as she could pick
from. Yeah, I mean, Hunrath is pissing everybody off left and right.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she also took the mirror on a tour of her husband's den. It was lined with flying saucer pictures, weird signs, and formulas. One of the messages on the wall was from, quote, Prince Regs of the planet Macer.
Of course.
She also said that her husband had played her tape recordings he had made of conversations with men, presumably from other planets, who landed in saucers. So there are theories on what happened to these men.
Okay.
The prevailing theory is that they crashed into the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
And they were never found because it was the middle of a desert. The more hopeful people believe that they found the aliens and went home to the home planet with them.
Okay.
A lot of people believe that the men hightailed it to Mexico to escape personal problems.
Maybe they were lovers.
They may have been lovers.
That makes a lot of sense as to why Wilkinson went to California to, like, chase this alien dream, whim of a dream.
That's a great point. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
How very binary of me.
Yes.
How very heteronormative of me.
Stop. I told you all
the time,
Bethany.
I know.
Stop doing that.
So that's the end of the story of these two men who went to find aliens and never came home again.
Wow.
Yeah. So bring that up at your next cocktail party. It's a nice piece of conversational fodder.
Uh-huh.
If you don't know what to talk about. It may cause people to fear you or not want to be around you, but hey, it's going to help you figure out who your real friends are.
Bethany,
mm-hmm.
if you want to leave your partner,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have the heart to do it,
sure.
this is the perfect playbook.
There is literally no problem with this plan.
The only problem is that I edited the episode and know this plan to a T now.
What is something that you do all the time that you would love to be paid to do? Watch YouTube videos.
Watch YouTube videos.
Shop for old books.
Yes, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Brushing my teeth, since I have to do that twice a day anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds like an ad. It's not.
It's not.
I think taking naps. Naps are my favorite. I would love to be paid to take naps.
Wait, I bet you can. We should Google that.
I mean, I'm sure there's like a mattress tester or some sort of sleep study.
Can you get paid to take naps? I ask you this because Newsweek has an article out today that a company is going to pay you $200 for every book that you read.
Okay.
The company is called Words Rated. It's a website that studies and analyzes book content. It's looking for a slew of bibliophiles at large to devour popular books so they can gain information on male versus female characters, characters in the book that go by different genders, sure. how many questions are asked during the book, and what animals appear amongst other things.
You know, I would be awful for that.
Yeah.
Because I don't retain a lick of what I read.
Yeah.
This,
yeah.
And that's why it's so nice to love mysteries, because I never remember who did it. The second I end the book, I'm on to the next and I do not remember anything about it. I couldn't tell you more than just a cursory plot description of the last book I read.
I think I could probably do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like you need to train your brain to listen or read a book in certain ways to pick up on character names and animals that show up and that kind of stuff.
Totally. Yeah. I wonder why they need to know, like, what animals show up.
Because if somebody loves, I don't know, tortoises or red tail fox, is that a thing?
They're a real red tail fox head.
Yeah, there you go. they're foxies. Is that what the
fans of foxes
fans
are called?
Fans of foxes are called. They then want to devour everything.
So you're like going to market it.
Yeah.
To the fox heads.
Like that one time we got a review by somebody only looking for information on the Alaskan Triangle.
That's right.
And the review was really bad because we beat around the bush for a long time before we get to the topics.
Yeah. We tell you what we're going to do. Yeah. That's why we put the times in the show notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were like, this show was not only about the Alaskan Triangle.
It's like, well, okay. Yeah.
You know, yes, you're right.
There you go. So I don't know. Would you? I think I might apply.
Yeah, sure. I'll apply for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This also says that you can... GoBankingRates.com says that there are things you can do to get paid to sleep.
Oh, cool.
You can be a hotel mystery shopper.
Oh.
You can be a sleep junkie. It's a company that lets you test mattresses.
Cool.
You can be a line sitter. So you just wait in line for other people. But if you can sleep, you can sleep in line. If you can sleep anywhere.
I would have no patience to do that. No patience.
You just bring a book.
I can't, Bethany.
You can be an overnight pet sitter.
Okay, I get that.
Overnight, hotel blogger, caregiver overnight, a sleep executive. That means that you have to determine the efficiency of curtains, shutters, and blinds.
So all of the creative ways in which you can get paid by sleeping.
Yeah, totally.
Interesting.
That sounds fun.
Interesting.
I do that sort of thing. What about you? What would be the thing that you would want to get paid to do?
I would love to get paid to beef up other people's Pinterest accounts.
Ooh, yes. Do people still use Pinterest?
I have a really sore spot about this because I use Pinterest every single day. And I have a friend who texted me yesterday. We were talking about something or other, and she said she hasn't used Pinterest in years. And I shouldn't, but I take personal offense.
Why?
I think that it is just one of the most useful tools to save things that you like on the internet and to be able to easily go back and revisit them at any time.
I mean, it is very useful. I wonder if I can still even remember my Pinterest login. It's on my website. I have it linked.
Yeah.
I think just because it looks like I have more social accounts than I do.
Yeah. A really great way to stalk somebody is find out their Pinterest name. And if they're pinning stuff to boards that aren't private, you can look at like all of the things that they've pinned lately within the last week or month or whatever. And then you can see kind of what they're thinking about.
It's interesting looking back at like old things I've pinned.
Yeah.
You can really tell when my body dysmorphia was at its height.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of thinspiration.
A lot of thinspiration.
Yeah.
And like... Yeah. Willowy women in the woods. Yeah, maybe I should get rid of my Pinterest. I don't know if that's things I want people to know about me.
Don't you dare.
I remember, Kathleen, you and I and a couple of other friends of ours went to the Grand Canyon one year because you found a picture of Havasu Falls on Pinterest.
Yes.
And you were like, that looks fun. Let's go.
Best place to plan a vacation is Pinterest.
And then we had to, we did go and it was beautiful. We also had to hike super far down into the Grand Canyon to get there in August.
Yeah, Havasu Falls. And then later Beyonce filmed a music video there for The Lion King.
She did. I recognized the falls.
So earlier in this episode, you talked about how you put too much beach spray in your hair today.
Yeah, it's back in a ponytail right now because it is all over the place.
Yeah, I did too this morning. And I was in the car on the way here thinking that like beach spray to me, because I'm from New Jersey, is like Windex is to the Greeks, you know? It fixes everything.
No matter what. I was like, how can I make my hair look like garbage today? And with sea salt spray, if you don't know what it is, it's like a texturizing spray. Yeah. So it makes your hair look like you've been on the beach.
Like a millennial's hairspray.
So two spritzes will really do it. Mm-hmm. I separated my hair into maybe 20 chunks. Each chunk got 3 to 4 spritzes of sea salt spray. And then I sort of twisted it and like backcombed it a little bit just to make it look like crap.
No, I like it, Bethany. It looks good.
Thanks. I'm never going to brush through it again.
No. It makes your hair so tangly.
It's so tangly. Yeah. It's like, it's what Victoria's Secret like models, like the old timey Victoria's Secret, like those barrel beachy wave curls.
Yeah.
You would finish it off with some sea salt spray.
I will never be over sea salt spray.
It's very useful if you're trying to get a lot of volume in your hair, but you don't care if it looks good or not.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so when was the last time you got a haircut?
Friend, I'm having one on Wednesday.
Oh.
Because it hasn't been since pre-COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I ask is because for a long time I was like, I'm not doing layers anymore.
Yeah.
Layers are out of style. And now I keep seeing photos of beautiful long-haired humans with all of these layers, and it makes me want layers again.
You have to follow your own style.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do what you like. Do you like layers?
I think so.
Then you should have layers.
Well, what kind of cut are you going to get?
I don't know. I think I'm going to tell my guy, just like, do what you want.
Oh my God.
I mean, keep it long. I need it long, but like, do whatever you want.
Oh my God.
I might get a shag or something.
I could never.
Really?
Never sit down and tell someone to do what they want.
Do you trust your stylist?
I haven't had a proper haircut in probably 4 or 5 years.
See, I've been seeing my stylist for 8 years, maybe.
Yeah.
9, since I moved to New York.
Yeah.
And he knows my hair. He knows what I like. I used to fall asleep during my appointments with him because I was so sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And I knew I could trust him. If I fall asleep, I'll wake up with a good haircut.
I just ask our friend Dina, who colors both of our hair, I ask her to just give me a chop chop straight across the bottom.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing for a couple of years, but I haven't had a proper haircut at my regular stylist in years.
Yeah, having someone you trust is the best. I'm just going to say, like, do whatever you want.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't care. Whatever.
Okay.
Kathleen.
Yeah.
What did you learn this week?
Okay. I've been watching a lot of animal documentaries.
Okay.
Because when you have a house guest who doesn't share your political views, it's not always kosher to watch the news.
Sure.
Just causes fights.
How is your mom?
Yeah, she's good. Thanks for asking. Anyway, we've been watching animal documentaries, and I learned that a properly made, a well-built beaver dam can be 100 degrees warmer inside than the outside temps.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Well done, beavers.
I was watching this thing about Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Which, did you know, about 20 years ago, they had to reintroduce wolves to Yellowstone.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because the ecosystem was all out of whack.
That makes sense.
And animals were dying off, and wolves was like the answer to all of the problems. And anyway, the beavers, Bethany, when they have these little babies and it's so cold outside,
so cold,
they build these dams that are so warm that these tiny, cute little beaver babies can live inside and exist all winter. And it feels like they're in Florida, but they're really in Yellowstone.
I don't know if I've ever seen what a baby beaver looks like.
Oh, so cute.
Oh, they're round.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so round. Buddy.
Baby beaver.
You're so, oh my gosh, do yourself a favor and look up a baby beaver.
They're so cute.
Oh no.
I know.
Baby.
I know. And their little flat tails. So cute.
Buddy, your cheeks are so big, but your face is so small.
Baby beavers are called kits.
Oh, just like baby foxes.
They're all born with their teeth.
Oh,
and their front incisors are as sharp as chisels.
Oh, they're so damn cute. Here's one holding a towel.
They lodge with their parents for a whole year.
Yeah. Add 17 onto that and you'll be a human, baby beaver. I learned this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have asked you.
No, that's okay. We got distracted by baby beavers and how perfect they are.
Yeah.
I remember the Barbie doll? Yeah. I remember the Barbie doll. Her full name is Barbara Millicent Roberts. Did you know that?
I think I knew that. I knew that, but I didn't remember that I knew that.
I didn't know that. I also didn't realize that she is from the fictional town of Willows, Wisconsin.
Interesting.
Explains why she's so tall and so pale.
And yeah, and blonde. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so there you go.
Millicent. I love that name.
Love the name Millicent.
Millie. A little Millie.
Yeah, or... Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Webgirl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also find our show on social media.
Yes, we are on Twitter, Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
You can send us an email, hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
Yes, and we have a snail mail address, and that is an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can also send us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode. 917-994-0353.
And we have some Patreon events coming up, and those dates are May 25th. We have a live show at 7:30 p.m. And on May 31st, we have book club at 8 p.m.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media, Dennis C-A-H-L-O. And speaking of Dennis,
yeah,
we have a new bonus podcast that comes out twice a month right here on your Acquired Taste feed.
The Check-In!
The Check-In. It is Dennis and I talking about our relationship and working together and mostly just trying to embarrass each other in public.
I am very on the edge of my seat as to whether you will or will not move in with each other.
Oh, yeah. We are also on the edge of our seat, mostly because financially, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And we're close to selling our bodies.
I tune in every episode to see if this is the episode where you announce that you're moving in with each other.
I like that you think I wouldn't tell you. You'd have to find it out on the podcast.
You know what, Bethany? Don't tell me. Let me find out on the podcast.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a promise.
All right. Time for you to do your thing.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Lindsay. I just wanted to let you know I had to pause some episodes and share in my mutual hatred of these motivational wall art pieces of crap, the live, laugh, love. But also, in addition to that, last week I was looking through my Instagram, and this tells you what I look at on Instagram, is a coffin came up, technically it's a casket, I guess, and it said lived, laughed, loved, because the person's dead now, so they can no longer do any of that. And I just had to share how awful it was. Anyway, thank you, ladies, for everything you do. I look forward to this every week. I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.
Hi. I'm not going to say my name because I'm a little bit nervous, but I am just calling to say that I love AirTags, and you guys were talking some serious smack about AirTags the other day. So I don't know. I just wanted to call and explain to you why I use them and I love them. So I am using them on both of my pet's collars, my cat and my dog, and it brings me a lot of comfort. And I can see what yards my cat goes into if the owners have Apple products. So that's really handy for me to know where my animals are. And then also I've used an AirTag in luggage that I've checked at the airport when I go on an airplane, and that was awesome to be able to see where my luggage goes. So I don't know, they're really fun. Sorry, I'm walking my dog right now. Forgetting to breathe. Additionally, I don't think you're actually supposed to get notifications of an AirTag being around you unless it's been marked as lost or if it's been following you and your phone doesn't recognize the AirTag. So I'm very much in the camp that a stalker is going to stalk, right, with or without an AirTag. So I don't know. I love AirTags. I am very much pro AirTag, and it bums me out to hear you guys say that you weren't AirTag fans because they're so great. All right, bye.
Hi, guys. This is Taste Bud Liana, a.k.a. Lenny, on the Facebook group. I was listening to the check-in, and I just have to say that the more I get to know Bethany, I've been a fan for a very long time, but the more and more she talks about, like, her life and her experiences, the more I'm just like, yes, we are the same person, because she's talking about being too tall at 5'10 to do anything, like, fun or anything that she wanted to do growing up, and as someone who is only 5'8", like, that's tall for a girl, I feel the same way. Couldn't be a Disney princess. Crushed my soul, found that out. And what really sucked was in high school, I would try out, you know, for like the school plays and stuff like that. And I always got cast in the ensemble, which is fine, but I always got cast in like the boring ensemble. So like, for example, in Bye Bye Birdie, I didn't get to be one of the kids because everyone else who was playing a kid was too short. So I got to be cast as an adult, and they had like the most boring stuff and like the most boring songs. And yeah, I got a call back for like the lead girl's best friend, but because the girl who played the lead was short, I couldn't play her best friend because I was too tall. So yeah, we should start a union or something. All right, I gotta go to work now. Bye. Hi guys, this is Taste Bud Liana, aka Lenny, on the Facebook group. I was listening to the check-in, and I just have to say that the more I get to know Bethany, I've been a fan for a very long time, but the more and more she talks about like her life and her experiences, the more I'm just like, yes, we are the same person, because she's talking about being too tall at 5'10 to do anything like fun or anything that she wanted to do growing up. And as someone who is only 5'8, like that's tall for a girl, I feel the same way. Couldn't be a Disney princess. Crushed my soul when I found that out. And what really sucked was in high school, I would try out, you know, for like the school plays and stuff like that. And I always got cast in the ensemble, which is fine, but I always got cast in like the boring ensemble. So like, for example, in Bye Bye Birdie, I didn't get to be one of the kids because everyone else who was playing a kid was too short. So I got to be cast as an adult, and they had like the most boring stuff and like the most boring songs. And yeah, I got a call back for like the lead girl's best friend, but because the girl who played the lead was short, I couldn't play her best friend because I was too tall. So yeah, we should start a union or something. All right, I gotta go to work now. Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.